continue with on page Chav Dalet. Kriyas Hayaladim B'Shemos Noim. Okay, let's talk about writing, giving names. Giving names. Let's see what it says here. Okay. Let's see. Ahud yom lele de bisu koinem shei at nenesli at she tiri mum yofe shebech. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara talks about a situation. A person says to his wife, koinem shaat shei at nenesli. I'm making a neder. You know that do I benefit from me at she tiri mum yofe shebech until. Until you shall see in you something good. Until Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef finds. So, Omalohem, Shema Shmona. So, in other words, he told this woman, you're such an evil person. You're an ugly. You're such an ugly person. You're such an ugly person. Therefore, you may not derive benefit unless you go to the rabbi. The rabbi can find something nice about you. So they went to the rabbi, and he said, well, maybe she has a nice name.
Well, he went through everything else. He couldn't find anything else.
That's his wife? His
physical characteristics.
Nothing. She was ugly as sin. So he went to the rabbi, and the rabbi couldn't find anything nice. So Amar Lohem Shema Shmo. So he said, maybe her name, she has a nice name. So he says, no. Her name is Lichluchis Shema.
Dirt.
That's her name. They call her by the name Lichluchis. Amar Lohem. Amar Lohem. So he said, oh, that indeed is a beautiful name because it aptly describes what you are. You're dirt. So if the name fits, that itself. Okay, this is the Gemara.
Dirty Harry.
Because you're filthy with women. So let's review. A man says to his wife, I had enough of you. You're ugly. You may not derive benefit from me unless the rabbi can find something nice about you.
How long did you be married?
30 years. 30 years.
So your rabbi has a very simple. He says to her, "You have a good husband," and she says, "Yes." That's a good.
So that didn't work. They must have tried that.
He never asked them does she have a good personality, which is what we normally say today. You know,
okay.
Dog, where she has a good personality. The Gemara doesn't mention that.
Okay, but they went to the rabbi and the rabbi could not find anything redeeming. So then he says, maybe she has a nice name. So I said, sorry, she has an ugly name, she's called Lichluchas, which means filth. So he said, oh no, that's taka, a nice name, because the name fits, since she is a person who is filthy, so the name fits. So with the name, that itself is yoifi is defined if the object it fits. Okay, that's the Gemara. Okay, now enters this the Pnimi Halacha B'Meiri Kasaf Hayoifi Koil Kol Min Yoif Shebeguf V'Loi Oid El Yoifi Hashem Hu Nichlal Bo. Yoifi includes not just the body, includes the name. Afilu Lo Hoya Hashem Yoif Mitzaratzmoi. Even if the name is not Yoif Mitzaratzmoi, Kol Shu Nema Allah Olav Kehoygin. But if the name fits, if the name defines the essence of the person, that's called Yoifi. V'Dover Dibur Al Oifnov. And then the word was said defining the essence of the person. B'Chlal Yoifi. That's called B'Chlal Yoifi. Now, V'Inei B'Mashokas Sav Nir L'Kayim. What does it mean? What does it mean in the Gemara? Ad shetiri by mum hayoyser yafesh shabach, until he sees in you a mum that is yafesh shabach. Sheyesh b'ktsas yoyfi. Lefi ze muvon shegam shem mechuar hu nikris mum b'nei habriyos. A mum, an ugly name, is called a mum in the eyes of shem mechuar. Shagam Shem Mukhur who nikris mum be ini habrios kefish amu gabi rabbi meir shadik b'shmo shel kidar. Okay, he called the prayer kidar means kidar means I forgot that gemara there as well. L'chein har what?
Round.
He found the person who was called kidar. L'chein har rabbi shmo sheba isa mum shuhu shmo l'chluchas matzah davar yafa sheshmo no Allah. V'zeh hamum shuhu shmo hu yafa. The mum that the yafev v'no Allah yoyis mikol mum in Shabbat. Okay, I'm not sure what he means over here. Objivu kubetz kosav ein lucha mum yafev kezeh shehu shem genai. Hare sheshem genai hu mum la'adam. So he tries to bring out this idea that having a bad name is called a blemish. A bad name is not a good thing. So now, what does he want with this? L'halacha. So he brings down here the inyan zehu v'sefer tolus Yaakov, Shabbat l'akilus Yaakov, the stipler, You're not allowed to call a child by a name that when they get old they'll be embarrassed that this is their name. And to give him a nickname, so he says that you should not give a name that they will certainly be embarrassed, but you are allowed to give a name that there's a possibility, but if you add another name, a nickname, so that takes away from the embarrassment. So in the time of the Gemara, they would call people by names that were ugly names, even though the person would be embarrassed, based, because they would call a person name based upon a circumstance. Eishes Moshe, Shenizkra b'shem Kushis. She was called Kushis. Now, why was she called Kushis? So there's a long list of interpretations. Some say it was a euphemism that she was exquisitely beautiful. That's one interpretation. But so, that means, okay, but others say it means that it means. It means you're dark. It means just the opposite. Dark skin. It does not have a nice connotation. So how then is she able to be called by that name? So the answer is, so you see over here that you can call a person by a name, even though the name is an embarrassing name, the child's going to have resentment later on. The fact that she was called by that name. That feel... What? Well, Esav was Asui. Esav wasn't a bad name when he was born. It was he means he was born Asui. Was complete. Everything, all of his features... Edom, so is that a bad name? It doesn't necessarily mean dark, he has reddish complexion. That doesn't necessarily mean red. We call him red because he's a murderer. He spills blood. We have transformed the name red into something evil, but it does not necessarily mean that it's bad. Ve'afilu sha'amru b'medrash tanchuma ki isha kushis lokach kushis b'gematria yifas mare. So the Medrash says that kushis is something which is positive yifas mare. It's a numerical equivalent. Everyone acknowledges. Why was she called Kushis? The measure puts a positive twist. Does not mean that she's ugly. It means that there's no dispute. Normally we have a rule, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. But when someone is so beautiful, then you don't have to come on to that. It's obvious to all that this is a beautiful person.
Yes. Or that she stood out.
She stood out. So it's obvious. Just like a kushis, there's no one denying the fact that the person's skin is dark, so too there's no one denying the fact that she is a beautiful woman. Or another interpretation, ayin hara. No one should give the person ayin hara, so they call it by the name, which means kushi, which is the opposite, in order to deflect the ayin hara. V'im kein, nagu likroi b'shemos michu arim. So what do we learn from this medrash of Tzipora? That it was customary to call a person by an ugly name. Now think about the child. When the child gets older, think about all the torment, all of the, or they're going to go and they're going to say, all of his friends are going to say, what kind of crazy name is that? And every time he goes for a job interview, they're going to say, what kind of crazy name is this? So he's going to have to suffer this insult, embarrassment his entire life. Who gives a parent a right to do that to a child? So we see here from this chazal that they do have a right to do that. That's not your problem. You can do it. If you have a reason why you want to do it, you can do it. There was a reason why they did it. So therefore, okay, just the fable in this thing, and it's not very clear, and people today obviously would not do it.
But today
you don't want to do it. So therefore, basically, the thing is, a person has to take into consideration what his child will feel when he gets old. Like today, like some people, they're certain like Yiddish names that today are not very popular in certain communities.
I have a cousin that they called her at birth Yenta.
Okay, so this is a very common. You have a grandmother, great grandmother, her name was Yenta. Today, it's not a very popular name.
No.
It's not a popular name.
It's not a bad name.
It's not a bad name. But in our community, the community that you find yourself in, maybe if you're living in Satmar, it's not a bad name. But now you're living in a more modern Orthodox community, it just doesn't go off well, whatever it is. So here you got yourself in a very big dilemma. On the one hand, you have a duty towards your grandmother, who was so good to you, to go and name a child after. On the other hand, you don't want to go put your child... But it's not the same thing. So that's all the big question. And people they struggle with this all the time. Okay, I have relatives, they mamish, they struggle with this all the time. They add a name, right? They add a name, but even you add a name, it's not this, a lot of people are very against it. If you want to name a child after someone, you're supposed to give them the real name. So you're not being faithful to that relative who was so good to you by adding a name, especially when they're not going to call. But on the other hand, I can't torture my child. My child is not part of this community where they use that name. He's in, he lives in the Mu'mat.
These books that tell you what these Yiddish names
what they really mean. Right, but it's still not exactly the same. Okay, so the bottom line is, this is a major dilemma. What to do? But we have precedent. The precedent is, look at Tzipora. Tzipora, the name, she was called Cushis. They had said Lashon Hara and Moshe ki Isha Cushis Lokach. They said Lashon Hara, so her name does seem to be Cushis. We don't really even know why she was called Cushis. Does Cushis mean because she was beautiful? Or maybe Cushis means that she wasn't beautiful. This is all part of the discussion. And this is just the issue he's trying to bring out over here.
Rabbi Yehuda, he went to an inn.
Yeah.
Meir was very evocative. He said his name was Kidor. And
Rabbi
said, there's a
Kidor Tapuchos.
Tapuchos.
A door that Tapuchos. Kidor Tapuchos.
Kidor is Kidor, and he didn't want, and they left the money, and he stole the money.
So he still won, still called it by that name.
There's a Chazal.
Yeah.
It says that, well, the names of the Nesiyim were beautiful, the names of the Meraglim were ugly.
Okay. Well, we interpret it in hindsight. You can make out of the name whatever you want to make out of the name at a later point in time. Okay.
Family in Eretz Yisrael, you know, they had the Yoyli.
Yeah.
So one of the kids, like, had a girl, and they didn't want to give it a... They decided to give a modern name, Chagit. So the grandmother used to say, Chagitala. So, making it to a modern
day. All right. Yerika al bigadai shel haraf. To spit on the garment of the rabbi. What's the shayel? Here's Meshut Torah Torah Lishma. Nishal bidin echad shayel yoshib ba'alecha ba'aliyah. Sheyesh lechaloin pasuch l'rishus sham. Person was in the second story. And the open was on the street. V'roes haraf hamoyer shaloyim mahanach b'rishus rabim. And the rabbi was walking down the street. Hamtin loyad sheyegiyah semach lechaloin v'rochal mitznev shalon. He spit on his mitznev, on his hat. He spit at the rabbi from the window. He didn't like the rabbi. And he spit on the rabbi's hat. Chayiv nidui al zeh shari also zilzul harav Hashem akevin shirak al levushay davko al lochosh of zilzul kokach v'in chayiv nidui. Okay, I don't know what the shayel is, but he went and he spit on the rabbi's hat. So maybe that's not as bad as spitting on the rabbi himself. When he spit on the rabbi himself, then that's halacha chayiv a curse. Nidui is a curse. So here it was on the garment. So the Gemara, he wants to bring a right and answer the question from the Gemara, because the Gemara talks about a situation where he made a neder. Let's see the shayel of a heishiv. Shemavua b'gemara b'sugin alva and m'sechta m'sechta n'dam daf samach vav yesterday's daf. So who the amalid b'su? A person said to his wife, "Koinam shi'at nesli at shetiraki b'rav Shimon Gamliel. You may not derive benefit from me until you spit on the rabbi. I hate you so much, you'll never spit on the rabbi. So therefore, the only way out is spit on the rabbi. Or I hate the rabbi." Okay, nechanami.
Story
from there. Yeah, many stories. Let's see. So, I don't know. It could be. Also, so what did she do? She went virokas and she spit alavusha. She did not spit on the rabbi. She spit on his garment. She took the handkerchief from the rabbi and she put the handkerchief. So why is she allowed to derive benefit from her husband? The kavana was that she should be mevaz the rabbi. She was not mevaz the rabbi. She borrowed a handkerchief. She went into the other room and she spit on the handkerchief. So there was no zilzul. Amalei,
the other way,
Okay, right.
So he didn't do it. Amale, so he said to him, Merik, Almoni, Devashim Gamil, Zilus, Rab. So he, it's also a zilzal in a chanami, even in a chanami, to spit on the handkerchief of the rabbi is also a zilzal. So the imkain, so therefore, what does the Gemara conclude? That therefore, the woman now was allowed to derive benefit because she fulfilled the tanai. Because even spitting on the garment is the same degree of a zilzal. Therefore, this we learn that a person is mevaz of the rabbi by spitting on his garments, even though it's not the same thing as spitting on the rabbi himself, that is also enough to be chayiv nidhi. The imkain, hashta huadim hachach, zer rakagal mitz nefes arav, the chiven, he had a kavah. To be put in shamta and nidui. The kol shekain in the forest or isha shiroka al begodish abshem gamliel hainu shiroka al levushay shalom biyosel levushay alav. That the af al pi kain amu begemarsh zeh chosh of zilzol. Certainly, if when the woman spit on the rabbi's handkerchief, he was not in the vicinity of the rabbi. It's also called a zilzol. So here al achas kam v'kama when this person spit out the window and the spittle landed on the person's hat, so that's certainly a zilzal, even though because it's very clear that he was being mazalzal in the honor of the rabbi, and therefore certainly there's no question that he's chayiv in a shanta. Okay, let's go to nothing a little more normal. Hasamach zayin neder b'tnai shrag echa yuchal lahatir v'oisa adonais. This is more practical. Okay, a person makes a neder and he makes a neder. And the only way the neder, part of the neder is the only one that can be mounted the neder is so-and-so, and that person dies. So what is one to do? Here's the shayla. B'ramo kosta b'shem harashba. Mi sheshpia es b'noi oichaveroi shaloi yilve mo'isav l'acherim. He told his children, or his son or his friend, that he should not lend money l'acherim. In loy b'rishus ruven v'shimin, he makes a shvua that he will not lend. Mi sheshpia es b'noi oichaveroi shaloi yilve mo'isav l'acherim. Im loy
b'rishus,
they have to get permission from Reuven and Shimon to make this loan in order to borrow money. They have to get permission from Reuven and Shimon in order to borrow money. Umeis echad mehem, and now one of these two people died. Mutver lulvois b'rishus ha echad. So there's only one person. Like you need two people to get permission. That was a shur. If you want to go and borrow money, so if you want to lend money, you have to get permission from Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven has died, so the only one left is Shimon. So is it enough to get permission from Shimon in order to lend money? So the answer is mutu lilvoy spirishus ho echad shakol mokam shnema plenty mashma filu echad mehem at sheyifor lucha shneim biyachan. Unless you say both of them together. Since he said one, he said Reuven Shimon, you mean is one or the other. If Reuven is no longer alive, it's enough to get permission from Shimon. Okay, now, step two. B'shach, kosav, shalav, davko im neis echon mehem, ela filu im shneim chayim, yochol asas b'shos echon mehem. You don't have to, even if they're both alive, since he said Reuven and Shimon, the chiddush of the Ramah is that you do not, when you say two people, you mean one or the other, you do not mean both. So now, so it's also enough. Miu b'shuvish Rabbi Elia Mizrahi Nichtav Shebinidorim Halech Achar Loshon Bine Adam Upuk Chazi Ma Amar Dvar. Let's see the way people talk. Bimi Shekibel, a person that was Mekabel Allah Beis Dayanim Shimdon Shein Don Yechidim Ain Don Yechidi Mehem Kol Shekain Benidoin Zeh. So in other words, we're saying over here as follows. When it comes to making a shavua, an oath, then we follow the Shulchan Aruch's definition of understanding of your language. And since you said two people, so in Shulchan Aruch, when you say two people, it automatically means one or the other, unless you specify both.
But
when
it,
but a neder,
no, it means either one. It can't be one person that has
person that hits his mother or father, right? Person goes and he hits mother. It doesn't mean he has to hit both mother and father. It means mother or father. It doesn't mean both. It means one or the other. So when it comes to a shavua, then we follow the Torah's definition of the word. But when it comes to a neder, a neder, we follow halach achar l'shoin b'nei adam. And since when people they speak and people mention two things, at least in the person's from the person's language, it means both together. Then, if a person makes a neder and he says the only one that can be matter my neder are Ruvein and Shimon, they must be part of the Beis Din. Since by nedarim halach achar l'shoin b'nei adam and stam l'shoin b'nei adam means both Ruvein and Shimon. If one of them dies, then the person is in trouble. Now he elaborates. Behine b'shut marit nishal alechot shiyotzim eretz shol luchutz roetz. Now he talks a very bizarre case. It's a very long case, very just going very quickly, about a person makes a neder that he's not going to leave his father-in-law for a couple of years. And now the circumstances change. B'shut nishal alecha shiyotzim eretz shol luchutz roetz lisa, he goes to chutzot to marry a woman. V'hisne im chamu, and he makes it tonight with his father-in-law Shimon, sheyisake b'chutz roetz v'gimul shonimo v'yachach harishus b'yodo, he's going to leave. I'm going to be with you only for 3 years. Down to 3 years, I'm going back to Eretz Yisrael. And when he left his family, it was very difficult. The two chacham that are chosen, Levi Yehuda shlo yuchlu kol chachmei ha'olam lahatiroi, v'lo yeh loy pesach lecharote, ela heim yuchlu lahatiroi, v'al menashe tehe atara b'fonai, shlo yisakei b'chutz l'yaretz yoser me'hashem ha'niskar mim loy b'oy niskadol. Okay, so what happened over here? He's leaving his family, he lives near Yisrael, he's going to marry a woman in chutz l'yaretz. And he tells us, the family says, don't leave us. Don't leave us, we need you. So he says, I have to get married. I must go, but I'm coming back. And I promise you I'm coming back. I take a neder. If I don't come back in 3 years, then I'm going to be a neder shimshain. Meaning I'm going to be a neder, I'm going to be a nazir shimshain for the rest of my life. I'm going to have to let my hair grow long. I'm not going to be able to contaminate to the dead. I'm not going to be able to eat the product of the vine for the rest of my life. And I'm telling you, I'm dead serious. I'm making this neder, and there's no one in the world that can be matter this neder. The only one that can be matter the neder is going to be Ruvein and Shimon. Levi Yehuda. The Gam Shatiyat Svas Benuya Peshokta Mimasim V'Aron Nunyos. He also says, provided, of course, that he came from Eretz Yisrael, he came from Tzfas, that it should be, of course, I'm coming back. It means under normal circumstances that Tzfas is still here when I get back, and there are no taxes. There are no pressing taxes. If Malay is fine, so he goes. So he makes this Tanai. So the family is confident he's coming back in 3 years, because certainly he does not want to be a Nazir Shimshain, and there's no way out of his neder. With Mlois Leruvein Kumay Shana Tamima, Leshiftai Im Shimon Chaviv. So he goes to Chutz Eretz, he gets married to Shimon's daughter, he's there for 1 year, and then all of a sudden the circumstances change. Im Shimon Chaviv, Ovad Shimon Kol Nechosa, Ba'ofen Shlonosan Lechasana Ruvein Mima Shenodar Loi Binisui Bitoi Ki Ma'at Muzar. He can't support him, because now he's in a lot of trouble. Now he leaves, he goes into Chutz Yaretz, and then his father-in-law goes broke. There's no money. So if there's no way he can come back to Tzfas. Because if he comes back to Tzfas, he only can come back if someone's paying the bill. And there's no one here that's going to support him in Tzfas. His father-in-law went bankrupt. But Gam Besechazman. Right, he went to Chutz Yaretz. But his father put problems.
Now what does he do? He's supposed to stay in Chutz Yaretz for 3 years.
3 years.
But he has no parnasa.
Okay, let's see. Vegam b'seich hazman haniska nerak Shimon. The father-in-law died. He was killed. Asher al kein hutzrach Ruvein leleches midochi el dochi. He from one difficult situation to another. Ulespatel milimudo levakeish tevel beis with the sik parnasa. Ulechamoyse almana Shimon harorik haniskar, and also to support his mother-in-law. Gam lozman asholei Shimon haniskam haisa eishes Ruvein manekes. His wife also was nursing. Yolda Ketana, small girl, that Rachim Hayu Misukanim, the Ain Yoitse Uba Machmas Hamat Sikim, due to the difficulties, not able to return. Uva Derech Yam Loy Nasol Leches Meimas Hatvia, the Hashvia, Chasashom, he also can't travel on the sea because of the Sakana of going back and forth. The Gamma Serchus Man Hasholoshon, Maniskram Bo Shmus Mirov Masse Hoir Tsas, Tibone Vitikonim Bimher. care of Yemenu, Merov Mitzika, he gets bad reports that it should not come back to Tzfas, because in Tzfas there are a lot of problems. Here's the part that we need: one of the Bachurim, one of the chosen Dayanim, Hachacham HaNiskanim, the Alpi Advar Ma'ela, Yilameidu Rabbeinim Chal HaNazirus Al Rubin HaNiskanim Lovi Afim Chal HaNazirus Im Yesh Heter Achar Sheniftar Echem Min Hachacham Shenosnim Biyadim B'Lvad Rishos Latirai. To make a long story short, over here he was only supposed to be here for 3 years, but now he realizes he has to stay here for more than 3 years, because his father-in-law died and his mother-in-law needs him to be there to support the family. His wife is nursing. He can't take his wife back with him on the dangerous travels back to Tzfas. Tzfas became a dangerous place. It's not good to return. So due to a long list of reasons, he's no longer able to return to his family in Tzfas after 3 years. But he accepted upon himself Nizirah Shimshain if he would not return. So seemingly now it's 3 years and the Nizirah Shimshain should be triggered. He should become a Nazir Shimshain. He's summoned to send a Shaila. Is there any way I can be Mater Neder? So the answer can be, well, yes, did you not make a condition that Levi and Yehuda, you designated two Rabbanim that are going to be Mater your Neder. So have them be Mater the Neder. The problem is, one of these two Rabbanim have died. So there's no one now available to be Mater your Neder, so you're stuck. Everything is now... One of them has died. So this was the question that was sent to the Marit to review. Person wanted to leave to Chutzaris to get married. His family told him, don't abandon us. He told them, family, don't worry, I'm coming back within 3 years. I promise you. I make a neder. The neder is, if I don't come back within 3 years, I'm going to be a Nazir Shimshain. And there's no way out of it. The only one that can be matter to the neder is going to be the two Rabbanim that are here. Now 3 years come, he finds the situation to be very difficult, he is not able to return, and the Nazir Shimshon should be triggered, and the only one that can be matter are those two people, and one of those two people has already died. So now Lechori, he is in a lot of trouble. So what is the halacha? So, B'tshuvasoi herichama b'dkama pratim b'hilchos nedarim olinyin ha-savik o'achron im chal nazirus im yesh le-heter al pi ha-chacham o'echad sh'oidam b'chayim hoi lumeis chaver kosim marich im omar al das ploni uploni yesh b'mashma sh'kol echam b'ne'atzma yater oize. Okay, so first thing he says, that even though you made it tonight, that the only one that can be matter is going to be two dayanim, so when it comes to two dayanim, maybe means there must be both, and since one now has died, so it's impossible, that is not a problem. The reason why that's not a problem is because you meant to say one or the other. Lefish shaninu resh perik nara hamurasa audaf avio bala mafrinis nidoreha, a father and her husband, it means one or the other. Heifer ha'avo, heifer ha'bal. Uvarchina migmora hain hainu resha mahu desema oy avio oy bala kamash mulan. It means both. Okay, so therefore he goes on to say, he proves from this Gemara, the point over here is that when a person says two things, when a person says two people, he really means to say one or the other, even when it comes to a Shaila of Nedarim. V'oid herich sham lo yichyech, shekol makam shloi perish, mashma kol lecha bifnei atzmo, ad sheyifroid yachtav. V'lechein deyif agam idin zek, heven shamar al das chaverov, levi v'yehuda mashma, gam kol echad bifnei atzma, one or the other, shrei loy amma shneim yachtav. V'yalkein therefore, in meis echad mehem, hasheni mefer the second, can be mefer on his own. Umiu, benidun didon, yesh tam loyma, shemakbich shneim yatir es haneder, hoel ba'dove tolu b'umdun adas svara, hu, shehu soy mechrak al umdun das shel shneim, v'loy al umdun shel echad. So he says over here that this case might be more complex. Because in this case, the reason why he originally designated two people was because they have to make an evaluation. And when it comes to making an evaluation, then you always want to have more minds to consider the situation. So it's not comparable to the regular case when you say two people. When you say two people, it just means, I just need a person to do the job. When you need a person, you need someone to do the job, and you designate two people, your kavan is one or the other. But in this situation, the reason why you designate to people is because you want them to make an evaluation if there's a good enough reason why you can stay longer than 3 years. So maybe then in that instance we actually need them both, and since one of them has already died, there's no way out of it. It's not explicit. The yesh b'loshon l'spar shneim ki'achad. It could mean, even if you want to say, maybe here you can still pass to mean both together. Tei d'hotnan avil ba'al mefin nidorech masha shneim ki'achad. Avrav lo'y ketani shneim behedya. V'kevon shekein gabi nidor mekol shenoyder atzma ein mefar shtaita azid l'chumra t'kayim lan stam nidor m'chachmer. So now we introduce another slow. When it comes to stam nidor m'golim l'chumra. So since there is a possibility that he meant two people, maybe we do need two people. So the ayin shemot sheherich im shaykh hatara b'nezir shimshon. Another complication. Who says that b'chlal there's something called hatara when it comes to nezir shimshon? B'chein im machmas ha oinzin.
We have to ask him.
What?
We ask him ishmach, but did you really want both of them because of the swer?
It's too late. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference what he meant. It matters what he said. It's not a matter. You can't go redefine what you said. The words have to be. The words have to stand on their own. By nedarim, when you make a neder, you're not a balabas to give explanation for your words. The words must stand on their own. So it's too little, too late.
Rabbi, he says that David told him, "But I'm done. Das a svara. Shulzayim of brachal and das a shnei. That's not under measuring. We don't call a svara." He said what he said. He's going back and forth with two svaras. Maybe meant Oizeh,
so that's the question. When it comes to Nadar, it doesn't make a difference what your kavan is. If you say I'm not gonna eat meat, and in my mind I was thinking fish, it doesn't make a difference.
No,
you said meat.
One side of the swirl was he meant either Levi or Yehuda.
Yeah.
As long as he didn't say Yachter.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he goes with another swirl, me or however you could say.
So it's a
sub, right, it's a sub,
so what is total we don't really mean.
So that's the dilemma.
It asks all these questions. The Gemara discusses it, so it gives you the Mishnah is telling you, listen, they did a survey, and when people say this is what it means. I'm letting you know in advance. If this is what you say, this is what's going to happen. And if this is what you say, I'm going to give you a little bit. But if you say this or this or this, you're stuck.
Yeah.
Would this be something similar? Shimshon, would that be similar to Tanoim? That if you have Tanoim, you have to go through with the marriage.
No, Nazir Shimshon is a different set of rules.
What I'm trying to say is, he could go through with it.
No, there's no Nazir is forever. Nazir Shimshon is a type of Nazir which is stuck forever.
Well, what about Tumah? Doesn't Tumah take it away?
Tumah, no. When a person's a Nazir Shimshon, you have for the rest of your life, you have to observe Naziris. There's no way out. There's no way out. You're stuck forever. And this is so he concludes here. Who says is in the Torah Nazir Shimshon? Who says in the Torah Nazir Shimshon? In v'chein in machmas ha'oinsin, even due to unusual circumstances, she'eru l'ruven yochel ha'at nidrei. Who says you can be matir? V'chein l'inyan nidrei oinsin shenodar al das rabim. If a person makes a neder al das rabim, there's another category. I make a neder. My neder, the only one that can be matir my neder is the entire Klal Yisrael. There's no way you can get a consensus in Klal Yisrael to be matir the neder. Yochel ha'at v'chein l'inyan nidrei oinsin shenodar al das rabim l'maisa kosav shu le'chavile nidrei shgogois. He concludes that it's mutter anyway because it was an accident. Kevon shloi kibel ha'amamon shenodar loy shal sach ke nodar, because since the only reason why he would come back to Eretz was because his father-in-law would support him. And since his father-in-law is no longer alive and no longer supporting him, so he never made the neder. So the bottom line takeaway from the halacha over here is, when it comes to nedarim, we have a principle, haloich achar l'shoin b'nei adam. That's the yisod number one. When it comes to kab, the Torah has one way of looking at things, kabed esavich v'yasimecha. There the Torah, even though it says two things, we interpret it to mean one or the other. But when it comes to nedarim, that's one thing you have to take into consideration, and you have to understand the way people talk. Second thing, take into consideration is when you go and you make a neder and you say the only one that can matam a neder are these two people, what is your kavana? You just want to use one or the other for convenience? Or you know you want them to make an evaluation? When you want someone to make an evaluation, your kavana is always to group together. It's not one or the other. Okay, the other side is, can you be matar nidrei shimshain? That's another big dilemma. Can you matar nidrei shimshain? And that pretty much is it. Those are the different issues of this sugya. Okay, let's try to do very quickly. We're going to bring the next shaila of hafaras nidrei bas meumetzes, an adopted daughter. We know that a person has a right to be matar neder of your own daughter. Until she's 12 years old, you can be matar neder. What happens if it's not your biological daughter? You've adopted her as a daughter. Can you be matar her neder according to Torah law? So the sugya b'vur shamei for nidrei bita nara. A father can be matar the daughter neder as a daughter until she is a nara, until she's 12 years and 6 months. Ubal mei for nidrei isha l'kamon b'vur d'hatam shabbat. And the Gemara says the lumdus. The reason why a father came out of the neder of his daughter until she's 12 and 6 months, not the gzeres hakasev, because when she makes the neder deep down in her mind, she knows that she's subject to the acceptance of her father. The father is not happy with the neder, then she never meant to make the neder. Now this idea on a wife, that her husband is only said by a wife, the reason why her husband can be mad at the neder is because the wife knows that she is subject to the decision of her husband. But the Gemara does not make that statement when it comes to a daughter. So it appears that when it comes to a daughter, the reason why the father is mad at the neder is purely gezeirus hakasev. So obviously, what's going to be the nafkamina when it comes to an adopted daughter? The adopted daughter is not technically your daughter, so you have no right to be matar neder. But if the svar would be because of kol hanoderes aldas balanoderes, or kol hanoderes aldas savianoderes, then an adopted daughter also depends upon her adopted father, then it would work. So let's see. Loi kasa tam zeh shum neder aldas savia uveshut harashba kasa v'chein brishos av kol shi nara uveshusoy shal av shle nises v'nei sheroiv kein datan v'rubun aldas kinoderes. The Rashba says an incredible chiddush, even though the Gemara does not say, the Gemara does not explicitly say that a daughter, when she makes a neder, the neder is aldas bala. It's the same exact thing. Okay, so what do we take out so far? Okay, so far we take out a chiddush. The Gemara says, when a wife makes a neder, the reason why the husband can be matter the neder is because the kavana of the isha is, the neder is only valid if my husband is masked and accepts it. And even though the Gemara does not say this so when it comes to a daughter, all of the long list of Rishonim say the same thing is true when it comes to a daughter. When she makes a neder, she knows that it's conditional that her father accept the neder. And obviously, if that's the correct, then when it comes to an adopted daughter, it's going to be exactly the same thing. But if you're going to be choylik and you want to go say that when the daughter makes a neder, it's a gezeres hakasev, it has nothing to do with her intention, her kavanah, then the father would not be able to be matan neder of an adopted daughter. Stepdaughter, right, a stepdaughter. Same exact thing. It's not.
Passes away.
It's not a biological daughter. The Torah only gives you the power to matter the neder of a biological child. So the question is, what's the lumdus? If the lumdus is because of it's conditional, then that would apply to anyone that is dependent upon you. Let's see. The neighbor Ran Kosav sheyesh lumdu mimash amu b'sugina ala noderes aldas abalo noderes shemish noder aldas chaveroi. Same idea. If you make a neder, I have a friend, I have a business partner. We share the business together, and all of my decisions, it's only going to be valid if my business partner accepts it. So if that's the case, you can be mad to the neder without going to the rabbi because it was conditional upon my business partner. It's no less than explicitly stating than the case of a wife and a husband. Disagrees. It says it's not necessarily so. Let's see. We would say for Birkas Leo, Donu Imodam Sheimitz Bas, a person adopts a daughter. Yochel Lahofer Nidra. His question is, can the father be mefer, annul the vow of his adopted daughter? Because Al Pima Shekosav Ha, I know what this stands for. We just learned this. what it says, okay, one in the Sefer, Shafaras Av Gam Kain Aldas Avir Hinoderes, that the Lefi Zed Hagam Shezer Choyk Mechoyke HaTorah Mikomokom Yesh Tamim Nation Oderes Al Derech Avir Bala. Ule, I'm not sure what that means. Kosav Mishum the Gabi Av Kavan the Heed. Since the Hikanuya La'av has Zuchus Lumkar Bikatnusa, Maisio Decha, the Chol Shachnu Recho, Levia, the Yeshla Bokini Momon, Lakachyof, Lahofer, S. Nidok, Sastemolo, Evelev, the Cafe, Lahindi for Nenolo, the Toro Zuchusla for Recho. Miloshes a Mashma, Shabas Muleta, Shaila Bokini Momon, Ain who Yocholhofer, Nidorecho. However, he goes on to say that it's not so. In other words, that's the dilemma. That maybe the reason why the Torah allows the father to matter the neder of his own is because the father has the right to sell her as a slave. The father owns his biological daughter. The Torah has given him his special rights. Whatever she earns, he gets to take away from her. He has the right to sell her as a slave. That's why he can be matter the neder. If that's the reason, then he does not have the right to matter the neder of his adopted daughter because he has no monetary rights in his adopted daughter. If the reason why you can be matter the neder of his daughter because when your daughter makes a neder, it's conditional what her father thinks, then that lomdus would apply as well to the case of an adopted daughter. But the reason why the father did not make a neder is because the father has monetary rights. He has no monetary rights. It's not because of something which people not make, but on elokevon shem shubedes b'rishus avia, he owns her. He can marry her off against her will. Since he owns her, he matched the nether. On them, besides Sefer Shalman Adam, because of the Chodah B'chulin HaGemar, lo imachicha da'azin basar ruba midin av shmefer nidere bitay, v'loi chashin dilma olav adavirhu, v'loi yachol lahofer v'hu mishum v'shaba mefer afilu l'nizu basar ruba, v'yesh l'sabek dilma olav adavirhu, mikol mokom hi sederes shavir hu v'noderes al daitay. The bottom line is that he holds the svar is because of the kavana, her kavana. The daughter does not even know if it's really her father. But she has a kavana.
Well, his daughter never knows.
Never knows.
You never know who the father
is. Roy Bila Sachar Abal. But you go by Sir Roy.
I know she's as ugly as he is.
The ayin bachar tzvi ma shekosa ben yinzeh. Ubrichas al minida shabal ha-mefer nidre ishtoy hainu gam ka-asher min ha-toyra. Let's say they're living in sin. Fascinating chiddush. You're a man and wife, are living together, they think they're married. But it's discovered 10 years later, they weren't really married. It wasn't the kosher kedushin. The tabas he gave her wasn't his. He stole it. Okay? The ring that he gave her for marriage wasn't a kosher ring. So they're living in sin for 20 years. And now it turns out that during those 20 years, the wife multiple times made a neder. She made a darim. And he was mad to the nether. So does that mean all of those nadarim were no good? No, it's a good because since they thought they were husband and wife, when she made the nether, she made it conditional. It was conditional that he would want it. So lefi amar shav mefer nidre. What?
Sure.
It is? No?
By Kohen and a Chalala.
Then they're only typhus.
It's
also typhus. Also typhus mamzeris. I think it's also typhus. But let's discuss this case. When a man marries a woman and then they discover 20 years ago that it wasn't his ring. He stole the ring. So it was not a kedushin. And they were living together all of these years. And during this period of time she made multiple nadarim. And he was mata the nadarim. So does that mean that she violated the laws of vows? The answer is no. Because what's the lumness of why a husband is allowed to be mata the neder? Is because when she makes it, it's a conditional. I live with this man, and this man, everything I do, he has to approve of. So, therefore, even if they're not technically married, same thing. That lumness we could apply to.
Very dangerous.
What?
It's dangerous for same-sex marriages or someone. Guy says,
that was a shah. Lefi omer shav nefer nidre bita mishum shemaderes al dasa ma'as mutzetes shichay shaves. So here, look what he says. So I think he wants the mechalik. Look at this. He wants the mechalik between an adopted daughter who doesn't know. There are many stories that the adopted children don't even know that they're adopted. Right? They don't know until much later in life. So let's say the adopted daughter doesn't know that her father is that she's adopted. Das nu metzes shehi chasheva shem shem ametz vavia hamametz yochol lohaferes nidra mishum shnoderes aldait. Okay, so sach hakol. What do we take out of this? I know we write it very. We take out of this is a dilemma. The point is, let's review the main point. The point is, the Gemara explicitly says that a wife, the reason why the husband can be made for her vows is because when she makes the vow, she has a kavana subconsciously that my vows are subject to his approval. The Gemara does not, nowhere in the entire Shas does it say that that same lumdus applies to a daughter. Nowhere. So that is where the Rishonim all come in, and they say, some Rishonim say, that's right. The Gemara didn't say it. Because when it comes to a daughter, it has nothing to do with kavana. It has to do with ownership. A father owns his daughter. He can marry her off to whoever he wants, even to the ugliest person in the world. She has no choice. A father can sell his daughter to as a slave. A father can, if she earns, she makes $1 million. She's a child prodigy and she makes $1 million. You know who that money goes to? It goes to me. The father has ownership in his daughter. Oh, because he has ownership, that's why he's able to be made for her vow. An adopted daughter, does he have ownership in? Absolutely not. He cannot marry her off. He cannot sell her as a slave. He has no rights over her income. He has no rights. He has no rights. Therefore, he cannot be made for her vows, even if she has kavanah that my vow is conditional upon this person. That's what some Rishonim say. Some Rishonim say no. The same lumness of a daughter. The reason why a father can be made for the vow of a daughter is because the father, because it's the same exact svara as a husband and wife. And even though the Gemara didn't say it, it's self-understood. A wife makes a vow that's conditional upon the acceptance of her husband. A daughter makes a vow that's conditional upon the acceptance upon her father. If that's the lumness, the same exact thing would apply to an adopted daughter. So that's the basic lumness. Yeah.
If you have adopted daughter and she doesn't know that your father's name, what name did he put on the ksuba?
What name they put on the ksuba? We learned this, the name of her father. The one, generally, because kol hamagadol yosem sech basic hilu yolda. So they put on the ksuba. Okay, I don't know the answer. Probably every situation is different. But technically, they put the name of the one who raised her would be valid. The question is not the ksuba. The ksuba is not a big deal. It's a get. The problem is a get, not a ksuba.
It would definitely have to be the father.
What? Which father? The biological father?
Yeah.
Well, let's even know who the biological father is. You gather her up from the street. What? So it says in Shulchan Aruch how you deal with this. There's the solution. Pretty much. Okay. But ksuba is not a big deal. A ksuba is a tanai bezdin. Even if you don't have a ksuba, you get a ksuba. A ksuba is only a.
It's like ksuba's midaraisa.
No, the chiyuv to pay the ksuba is the raisa. But the document, to actually write the document, that's only midarabanan. Even if you do not write a document at the wedding, the husband has to give her a ksuba if there's death or divorce. But to actually write the document, all the bells and whistles that it says, that's only takana de rabbanan. So there are major leniencies in spelling mistakes and all other errors that take place in the ksuba. There are many leniencies. But a get is no playing around. A get has to be 100%. Okay, we'll take a short.